Andu, the magician. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We present for your enjoyment tonight and every weekday evening at this time, Chandu, the magician. Before our drama starts, I would like to tell you some news, some very good news. We think it's safe to say that if you would like White King granulated soap, you can probably get it now from your grocer. You know, it has been awfully short and in many cases difficult, if not impossible, to obtain. This was because during the war years, we wouldn't let White King quality down. And we just couldn't make enough of our kind of soap to fill the demand. Then, too, lots of people moved out west from the east. And once they tried White King, they found it different from, and many like it better than, any soap they'd ever used. There still isn't any too much White King, but if you're lucky, you'll find some at your grocer's tomorrow. And know what you'll say? Do you? You'll say, I love White King. Frank Chandler, his sister Dorothy Regent, and her son and daughter are guests of the somewhat mysterious Princess Naji in Cairo. The princess is out of the city, but by her occult knowledge, she sends a message to Chandler, warning him of grave danger and urging the family to join her at a small native village up the Nile. Now, late that night, a sailboat showing no lights is moving slowly up the dark river. Chandu, the magician.
How much farther is it, Frank?
Not much farther now, Dot.
Mother, you're shivering.
Oh, cold, Mom? Put my coat around you. Here.
Oh, thank you, Bobby. I'm not really cold. It's just, I don't know. There's something uncanny about the Nile.
The darkness does get on your nerves after a while.
Oh, it's more than that. There's something in the air all around us. As if the ancient Egyptians were here still.
Oh, yes. As if Cleopatra's ghostly barge might be coming down the river, right over there.
Oh, no, dear. And I don't mean Cleopatra. I mean there's something menacing in the darkness.
Oh, maybe the boatman's a spy or something. Standing there looking inscrutable and listening to every word we say.
Frank, you are sure the boatman is the one Abu engaged for?
Quite sure, Dot. You're unusually sensitive to the influence of Egypt. I told you that before. But the boatman's all right. He's one of Naji's own men, Abu said.
I can hardly wait to see Princess Naji. Uncle Frank, did you know she was a sorceress when you saved her life in Alexandria?
Well, not at that time, of course, but I soon discovered it. Or at least that she was supposed to be.
Do you like her a lot?
Now, dear, don't ask personal questions.
I was only thinking it would be wonderful to have a princess for an aunt.
Oh, I don't think I'd care for Naji as an aunt.
Oh, I don't mean you. I mean me.
Oh. What in the world is that?
I'm just a dog. You know, Mohammedans despise dogs. The worst thing they can call a man is a dog. So they have a pretty unpleasant time of it here.
Oh.
Don't think about it, Mother. Think about the princess. Uncle Frank, is she beautiful?
Well, you know how she looks, Betty. You saw her in the crystal.
Yes, but I was looking at her clothes and thinking how strange it was. The whole thing, I mean. And watching that wicked-looking man she was talking to.
Well, I saw her. She has smooth black hair and big black eyes. And did you notice her hands, Uncle Frank? Kind of...
Well, listen to you. Hands like butterflies. That's what the prince said.
Huh?
The storyteller, I mean.
Oh, that's right. He did. Do you suppose he meant the princess by all that stuff about the beautiful girl in the garden?
I wonder. You know, Dot, I'm sure now he meant to give you a message, but for some reason decided it was dangerous to come right out with it.
Oh, if we only knew who he was.
Say, Betty, why do you always call him the prince?
Why, he said, I mean, that's what he...
Betty! Did that man say something to you that Bob and I didn't hear?
Well...
Come on. He did, didn't he? Well, what did he say, the big lug?
Listen, Betty. That storyteller may be a man who can help us find your father, if he's alive. Or he may be in the pay of Roxor. If he said anything to you privately, there was a reason for it. Did he?
Well, yes, he did.
How do you like that?
What was it he said, honey?
It wasn't very much, Uncle Frank. Just that he was really a prince and...
Darling, you should have known better than to talk to him at all.
Was that all he had to say?
No. He just said that if I liked the stories he told, he'd come and tell me another sometime. Something like that.
Well, how did he think he could find you? Did he ask you where you were staying?
No, he just said, I will come to you again. And the next thing I knew, Mother came up and said he had on that ring that was Daddy's. And the prince was gone.
The prince?
Why didn't you tell me, dear?
I was going to, but, well, it was kind of an adventure, and I didn't think about his being a spy or anything.
You know, I'm beginning to think he wanted you to see that ring, Dot.
Well, then why should he vanish like a puff of smoke when he knew I did see it?
Because of whatever interrupted the story.
You know what I wonder? If the prince, the storyteller, was trying to tell us where the princess is hiding.
Oh, that awful sound.
I don't think Nadja is hiding from Roxor.
You don't?
I think she may have discovered something that would lead her to him.
She must know where he is, Frank.
No. From what I gathered from Yusuf, Roxor has a sort of secret headquarters no one can find.
The man that came to Yusuf's house that night said Roxor had a hiding place far away. Remember?
Yes, but that's not much help. Most of these people have lived all their lives in one place, except when they make their pilgrimage to Mecca. So far away could mean anything from a mile to 1,000 miles.
Then perhaps the princess has found Roxor. Maybe she's there now, and even Robert might be.
I almost hope not. Remember what we heard Nadji say in the blue flame?
Danger. Death. Oh, Frank, will we never get there?
Just a few minutes now, Dot. Oh, we're pulling into shore, you see?
Oh, look, Bobby, palm trees. Just like California.
Yeah, and just like we saw in that blue flame thing.
Hold on now. We'll probably hit the bank with a bump. Yeah. Well, just a few feet from the top of the bank. I'll give you a hand, Doc.
Thank you.
Here you go, Beth.
Hey,
will the boatman wait here for us?
No, we won't need him. We'll be going back another way.
My shoes are full of sand already.
So are mine.
Shake them out here on the path.
Oh, how fine the sand is. Like the pulverized bones of people that lived here 5,000 years ago.
Oh, Betty.
You're just plain gruesome, you know that?
Well, Egypt makes you think of things like that. There. I'm ready.
You ready, Dot? Down this way.
You should have brought a flashlight. It's darker than ever among the trees.
I have one, Bob. But I know the way, and I don't want to make a light yet. Well, let's stop a minute. Listen.
I don't hear anything but the wind blowing the sand.
I'm freezing. It's colder now than it was on the river.
It always is here at night. We're just on the edge of the desert. I hear someone walking in the sand.
I hear it, too.
Here, Bob. Take the flashlight. Don't turn it on until I tell you.
Okay.
Stand still. Don't move any of them. Stop. Stand right where you are. Bob, turn on the light.
It's the prince.
Is this the man you saw? Is it, Dot?
Yes, I know it is.
Good. Now then, who are you?
I am called Abdallah, Fendi.
What do you mean by the story you told my sister in the bazaar?
When the time is right, I will tell you, Fendi. But now it is another message I have brought.
I don't want to hear it now. You have a certain ring, a man's ring, and the top is a seal, a signet. With the initials RMR. Where is it?
There is a mistake, Effendi.
I saw it on your finger.
Abdallah, where is the ring?
See my hands in the bright light? I have no ring.
Isn't there any way to make him talk?
I have come to bring you a message, sister of the Effendi. Most important to you.
I don't want any message. Just tell me where you got that ring.
Yes, and make it snappy. We have a date.
Bob.
You know, Effendi, that if evil should befall me because of your magic, the lady, your sister, will never learn of the ring. Will you be pleased to listen to my message?
All right, tell us what it is. Let's get this over.
Dorothy, you're playing right into his hands.
If the Effendi will listen, he will learn the answer to many questions.
Where is the ring?
The name of him who sent me is secret, but I can...
Is it Roxorm?
You know his name?
Where is he now?
Far away.
Oh, that again.
Many days away in the desert. Fendi will be wise not to become his enemy. What he desires always comes to pass. He is never defeated.
He still hasn't those drawings that were stolen from my sister's house in America, though.
You know where they are? You know?
Then he hasn't got them. And you can tell him from me, he never will. All right. What's this message of yours?
Fendi, let me be your friend. Let me help you.
How?
To protect those you love. Your sister and the little white flower, her daughter.
Who, me?
Betty.
Why, you big... Hey, come back here.
Oh, where did he go?
I dropped the flashlight and went out.
And he's gone among the trees. We won't see him again tonight. Well, we may as well go on. Can you see the path?
Yes, but... He didn't tell us about the ring after all.
He didn't have to, Dot. He told us he works for Roxorm. Showing you the ring was a decoy, just as I thought. Let's stop here a moment. Here's a landmark I recognize.
No, I don't see anything but darkness. Uncle Frank, I'm sorry I made so much trouble just letting him speak to me the other day.
Never mind, dear. It's done now. Well, this is the place, I'm sure.
What is it?
A hut. The first in the village.
You mean there are people all around here? It's awfully quiet.
Yes, I know. There are only half a dozen huts, and they may be empty now. Around the corner here, the door should be right here.
The princess can't be in there, Uncle Frank. It's all dark.
What a place to meet a princess.
Nudgee. Bob, where's the flashlight?
Right here. I hope it isn't full of sand.
Ooh, what a closed-up, musty smell. Are you sure this is the place, Frank?
Turn the light on, Bob.
Oh, it's stuck or something. There.
Empty.
How could anybody live in an awful place like this? There isn't a thing in it.
Where could she have gone?
Oh, this must be the rock. Look over there on the floor. Turn the light over that way, Bob.
What? It's a piece of silk.
It's a scarf. Look.
It must be Nudge's. She was terrified when she sent me that message. Death, she said. Death. But whose death? Whose death does it mean?
Monday night, Chandu continues, and you'll want to join Dorothy Regent, Betty, and Bob in their thrills and adventures. So you'll be with us Monday evening at this same time, won't you? Probably tomorrow, you'll be marketing. And maybe on Monday, there'll be a washing you'll have to do. Look, here's a suggestion. Get a couple of packages of White King soap tomorrow. Get the giant size package if you can. And will you be proud of your washing? The white thing so very white. The colored thing so safely guarded. The washing time shortened so considerably. The effort reduced so that you're hardly tired. And your hands feeling so good. Because White King is gentle not only to clothes, but to hands as well. Know what you'll say when you've used White King? Do you? You'll say, I love that soap. Chandu the Magician is based on the original radio drama created by Harry R. A. Earnshaw. The makers of White King invite you to listen Monday at this time when the story resumes. Chandu, the Magician.